Hello everyone, thank you very much for joining me on another open country audio walk. I'm bringing you something slightly different for this one, as I've set off from my house just after the sun has set and nighttime is slowly drawing in. At this time of year, sort of late autumn, early winter, as I'm recording this, a lot of people see the longer nights as being a barrier for getting outside, but I've always seen it as quite the opposite. For me, nighttime in even a rural landscape is quite magical, and that's what I'm going to share with you this evening. I've started this walk by walking up my local hill, the Billing, which I have featured in a previous audio walk, but I'm expecting to see it in a completely different light this evening, or indeed lack of light, as there is still a little bit of brightness in the sky, but as I've been walking up the hill, the sun has dipped beyond the horizon, and it's been replaced by the glimmer of street lights and car lights in the valley below. I've made it up into the little area of woodland on the top of the Billing, which used to be a quarry, and it's now just surrounded by beautiful trees. And as I look up, there's a birch tree directly in front of me, and it's now completely silhouetted. Just the black outline of the beautiful intricate branches with the few autumn leaves that are left on it after the recent wind that we've been having recently. It just looks absolutely amazing, and it's something that you wouldn't usually see during the day. You'd just see the tree as it is, but as soon as you lose light and just see the silhouette, it's just incredible to see the intricacy of all the tiny branches that are protruding from this dark, ominous trunk. I'm glad I've worn my wellies. I've just walked through quite a boggy section of this walk, and especially when you can't see where you're going, you can't necessarily avoid the worst bits. Thankfully, I didn't go much further than my ankle. But as I say, the wellies definitely come in useful when you're out walking on a hill in the early winter. I've now left the wood and I'm heading out onto the crown of Rawdon Billing, where we will get to the trig point eventually, and all of those fantastic views of the local area will open out in front of us. As I leave the wooded area, I can just see the sky glowing orange, and beyond the hill in front of me is Leeds Bradford Airport, and because of all the runway lights and all the lights from the terminal building, it just projects this glow into the sky, and around it is just this deep blue colour, but then you just get this burst of orange. In the background, you may even be able to hear our first glimpse of a tawny owl. They often roost and nest up here on the Billing, and at this time of the year I'll often just come up and stand in the woodland, where we'll return to at the end of this walk, and see if we can get a closer listen to these magnificent creatures. On a number of occasions I've actually tried to call to them myself to get a response, and whether by luck or judgment, sometimes that they have actually responded to me. Anyway, I'm beginning to get a bit chilly just standing here on this edge of the hill, so I think we ought to make our way towards the trig point and see what we can find in the valley below. I've now made it to the trig point on the top of the hill, and apologies here if you get a bit of distortion, as it is quite exposed and breezy up here. As I look round, I'm thinking during the day you'd be able to see for miles. Usually see the power stations of Ferrybridge, Drax and Egborough out in one direction, and then in the other direction you can see out towards Ilkley Moor, the Cow and Calf, and eventually Beamsley Beacon and the start of the Yorkshire Dales. But of course, when it's dark, these things become a lot more difficult to decipher. You can just about see the dark horizon line, which merges with the misty orangey-blue cloud that is lit by the lights below. In the opposite direction, Leeds is lit up like a Christmas tree, as is Bradford on the other side of the valley. I've been walking up here after dark for many years, so I've just got used to recognising various different landmarks by different lights. So there's sort of a hazy orange light on the horizon to the left of me, which I know is the Royalty Pub on Otley Shevin. I'm not sure whether it's a safety light or something like that, because at the moment we're in lockdown, so pubs aren't open at the moment, but that light is always there, shining every time I come up here after dark. To my right-hand side, there's the bright red glow of a light on top of Cookridge Communications Tower. And then, as I say, we spin round and see the vibrant lights of Leeds, especially the lights on the side of Bridgewater Place, which are really dominating the skyline at the moment. Directly in front of me, there's a road snaking up a dark hill. You can just see the line of traffic and also the street lights on the side of it. And I know this to be Woodall Lane because it just runs between the golf club on Woodall Hills and then also through the farmland up there. So you get this stark contrast between this bright snaking road and the rural landscape around it. And then looking beyond that, round to the far right hand side, is the start of the lights of Bradford. I can just about make out Lister's Mill on the horizon with the lights from what are now apartments and offices shining brightly over the valley below. The darkness has now really set in. I can just about make out the shapes of things around me, but that's all it is, just an outline. I suppose you're thinking a sensible person, Tom, would bring a torch with them to navigate through the darkness, but I've never done that because I feel that when you're walking in the darkness, yes, you might trip over something or find something that you weren't expecting. I've come across herds of cows and foxes in the past, but it just feels like it brings me closer to natural reality and the nature of this wonderful place. I also might get a bit muddy at times as I try and navigate through boggy areas like I did earlier on, but for me that's just all part of it. As I said, I've been walking this route, or variations of it, ever since I was a child, and I'll never forget the first time I came up here after dark, which has sort of spurred me on to come up so often since. It was actually New Year's Eve in 1999 to see in the millennium. we walked up to the trig point for midnight, and as midnight hit, it was just 360 degree views of fireworks popping in the valleys below. And it must have gone on for nearly an hour, and it's the best firework display I've ever seen. You can keep your Big Bens and your London Wheels and your Sydney Harbour Bridges. I'd much rather be up here on the Billing. We've moved away from the trig point now, and we've started to come downhill slightly as we do a loop and head back towards the woodland. And just as I've been walking along this bottom ridge path, I've been hit with a face full of drizzle. In fact, I knew it was coming because as I looked across the valley, it just started to go really hazy. And that's a sure sign that there's some fine rain about that's on its way across to meet me. In fact, I'm just about to navigate one of the boggiest parts of this walk, so if you don't hear from me again, please send out a search party. At this point, you're probably thinking, I'm glad I'm listening to this and not actually there, walking with this strange chap in the dark, without a torch, on a cold, drizzly evening. Don't worry, I successfully managed to contend with the boggiest section of the walk, and I'm now heading back up onto the hill and heading back towards the woodland under this avenue of what look like oak trees. In fact, I'm certain they're oak trees because I've walked under them so many times in the light before, and as I look up I can just see the iconic outline of that oak leaf shape just silhouetted against the sky beyond. Now, as I mentioned a little bit earlier on, the reason that we're going back to this woodland now, the night has well and truly set in, is to see if we can find any tawny owls, or at least hear them. I might even try giving the impression a go. Before we return to the wood, I'm just making one last stop off at a viewpoint on the opposite side of the Billing to the trig point. And personally, it's one of my favourite viewpoints. I've seen many a glorious sunset from here before. And it's the view that looks out over the moorlands of West and then finally North Yorkshire out on the far horizon. I can't see that at the moment because it's shrouded in this misty drizzle. But I can see just the pinpricks of light, as we did on the other side of the hill, dotted as far as the eye can see. And then just patches of darkness where it's a lot more rural. Also got Larkfield Dam below me, which is a lake, and it's just showing these fine reflections of the houses' lights that are pouring across it. Even at this time of night, in this weather, it is absolutely stunning. We're now back where we started, stood underneath that beautiful birch tree. And now the silhouette that was there has now disappeared quite dramatically. You can't really see very much of the branches now. It's just all a big silhouette. I've actually just seen a tawny owl fly over me. In fact, it's circling just above the trees. I know it's a tawny owl because it's got quite a dumpy silhouetted outline. That's not to do the bird any disjustice, because it is an absolutely spectacular bird. Just a browny, tawny looking owl. They're a reasonably sized bird as well. They're not tiny. As I've been walking around here, I have heard the sound of them. I think there are a few birds around. The tawny owls give off the classic tuit-tuwoo sound, and many people mistake it for just being one bird, but it's actually the response calls of the male and the female. So the female will do the tuit sort of sound and the males will do the tuwoo bit. So if you hear both calls together, it's usually two owls having a conversation with each other. There are a few people walking around as well, which may be putting them off making a bit of noise. They might just be hunkering down. But I suppose we could have a go at doing the old imitation call and see if we get a response. To be honest, I'm not holding out much hope, and you'll probably see why when I do make the call. That was me, by the way. As was that. Now, just at the vital moment, it looks like the tawny owls have decided to show me up and say, what a rubbish impression that was. I'm not responding to that. Maybe I should stick to my day job and just record more audio walks. Anyway, at least we did catch the sound of one a little bit earlier on when we were here. Was that one that I just heard there? Or am I clutching at straws? Anyway, we tried, didn't we? I would stay here all evening just to soak up this wonderful atmosphere, and eventually I may even have heard a tawny owl, but my tummy's starting to rumble and I know that my tea will be hopefully on the table when I get back. But thank you once again for joining me on this audio walk with a difference. I hope you've enjoyed the sights and sounds of the Billing after dark. I know it's a place and a time that is very dear to my heart, so hopefully I'll be able to convey that beauty that I've experienced this evening through the airwaves to you. Until our next audio walk outing together, please stay well and stay safe. Thank you for listening.